WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's mostly clear and 27 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Topping local news, the Adair County Sheriff's Office reports this morning a Stewart man was arrested Friday on multiple drug charges following the execution of a search warrant at two separate residences in Adair County. Officials say 35-year-old Thomas Lee Caldwell of Stewart was charged with manufacturing methamphetamine, possession of lithium as a precursor, possession of anhydrous ammonia as a precursor, possession of pseudoephedrine as a precursor, manufacturing marijuana, possession of meth, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Caldwell was taken into custody but escaped Saturday afternoon. Officials say at around 12:45 p.m., Adair County's three inmates were allowed out of their cell to shower and exercise while in a chain-link fenced-in area attached to the south side of the jail. Caldwell climbed the fence and was somehow able to make his way through the 12-foot-high ceiling portion of the fence. He fled the area on foot before stealing a 1992 Chevy pickup parked in the 200 block of East Iowa Street in Greenfield. Caldwell was captured about 75 minutes later near his residence on the 1800 block of Sheldon Avenue in Adair County. The pickup was recovered near his residence in a wooded area. Caldwell was being held in the Adair County Jail on $125,000 bond for the drug charges and on escape from custody and theft of a motor vehicle charges. The investigation into his drug activities continues, and additional arrests are expected. News time is 8:03.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Ricky, what in the world are you doing?
Crystal, I'm getting ready for tailgate season by combining two of America's pastimes, country music and football. I just wish there was a way I could conveniently take my TV with me while tailgating.
I can't help you with your singing, but I do have a solution for your TV issue. With Dish Network's Tailgater, a portable, fully automatic HD antenna which allows you to be watching the pregame show within minutes of pulling into the parking lot, with no alignment necessary. All you need is the tailgater with the appropriate receiver, and you will be the go-to person for all the highlights on game day.
That's exactly what I need, so I'll be the man on game day.
Now, Ricky, there's only one place this season to get a Dish Network for your home and the tailgater for your RV. At the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer, 907 East 7th Street, Atlantic, or call 243-3032 or check us out on Facebook.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
Republican Congressman Steve King says the weekend debate he moderated between Newt Gingrich and Herman Cain was a bit like a prize fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
I expected that, and it unfolded that way, that Newt is full. He's got all the policy, all the moves, floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. He didn't really sting anybody. He was very congenial, though. And I thought that, okay, that's real good, Newt, but you better watch out for Herman's right hook. And it was kind of how it went.
The 90-minute forum was held in Houston, Texas, and King says it wasn't a confrontation between the two men, but a discussion in which the two men aggressively laid out their ideas.
Newt used up more airtime than Herman did, but when Herman used his airtime, he landed good blows.
King let Kane ask the last question of the night.
He asked Newt what he'd like his first directive to be if he were vice president.
Gingrich joked that he would not go hunting, a reference to the 2006 accident when then-Vice President Dick Cheney shot a hunting companion in the face. Kane has indicated Gingrich would be one of his top choices for a running mate. Saturday night's fundraiser was a fundraiser for the Texas Patriots Political Action Committee. Farm state lawmakers are moving to create a new subsidy that would protect farmers when their revenue drops. The subsidy would be an unprecedented program that critics say could pay billions of dollars to farmers now enjoying record high crop prices. The subsidy is a free insurance that would cover farmers' shallow crop losses before their paid insurance kicks in. It would replace several other subsidy programs. The income insurance plan has a diverse group of opponents, though. They include environmental groups that have long argued against farm subsidies, conservatives who say the plan won't save the government much, and even one of the nation's largest farm groups. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the beefed-up insurance could encourage farmers to make riskier decisions and drive up the price of land. Senate Republicans will choose a new leader as they look toward the 2012 election and a chance of winning control of the chamber. The lawmakers will meet Thursday, 2 days after a special election in Eastern Iowa's District 18 that could give them a share of Senate control if the Republican candidate wins. GOP lawmakers say there are no ideological issues at play in replacing Senator Paul McKinley, who announced last week that he would step down from his post since he had opted not to seek re-election. Instead, legislators say they want a leader who will be a strong voice for Republican positions and give them the best shot at winning control of the Senate in 2012. A new poll suggests that Iowa Republicans are most concerned about the U.S. debt and jobs in the run-up to the January 3rd caucuses. The Des Moines Register's Iowa poll says 48% of those surveyed felt the national debt and government spending was among the top one or two issues for the next president to address. Some 47% felt jobs and the economy were among the top issues. 4 years ago, Iowa poll respondents said national security and terrorism were the top campaign issues. Arguments have been scheduled in a lawsuit against the Iowa Department of Public Health filed by a lesbian couple who want both their names placed on their daughter's birth certificate. Heather Gartner is the biological mother of Mackenzie and is the sole parent listed on her birth certificate, although Heather and Melissa Gartner have been legally married in Iowa. They say that listing only one parent deprives their daughter of the benefit of two legal parents being present from birth. The Des Moines Register reports that the arguments are scheduled to be heard in court today. Officials say state law allows only a husband's name to accompany the mother's on a birth certificate. Iowa law says the husband is presumed to be the father of her child unless a court declares otherwise. The Judicial Nominating Commission has scheduled public interviews of the 18 people who applied for a vacancy on the Iowa Court of Appeals. The 15-member commission will interview the applicants beginning at 9:15 a.m. on Tuesday. Those interviews will be held in the Iowa Supreme Court courtroom in Des Moines. The public is invited to attend. After the interviews, the commission will select three nominees to send Governor Terry Branstad to, who will make his selection. The vacancy was created by the retirement of Chief Judge Rosemary Sackett, who's stepping down in January because of Iowa's mandatory retirement age for state judges, which is 72. Branstad appointed Sackett to the appeals court during his previous stint as governor. She was named the chief judge in 1999. Elsewhere in state news, a bow hunter has been injured in a fall from a tree stand in eastern Iowa. The Jones County Sheriff's Office said 24-year-old Brad Stainer of Cascade was hurt Saturday as he hunted near the Maquoketa River. The office said Stainer had stood up to take aim at a buck, but his strap to the stand broke and he fell about 14 feet. Stainer used his cell phone to call for help. Rescuers took him to a Dubuque hospital. One person has died in a fiery crash that ignited a stack of hay bales in a field near Larchwood. The Lyon County Sheriff's Office says investigators believe the vehicle went off the road early Saturday morning, traveling into a ditch and then being in cornfields before hitting the hay bales. The vehicle was found as firefighters were battling the fire, which involved around 30 round bales. The victim's name has not been released. And authorities are investigating a suspicious death in Evansdale. Police Chief Randy Weber said that the victim was taken from a residence to a hospital where he or she died 7 hours later. That person's name has also not been released. Police are awaiting the results of an autopsy to help determine the cause of death. Authorities are investigating the disappearance of two trucks from a Mercy Medical Center warehouse in Des Moines. Police report cited by the Des Moines Register says two trucks bearing Mercy logos were reported stolen Friday morning along with tools and equipment from the warehouse. Police say about eight other vehicles in the warehouse were searched during the burglary but were not taken. The vehicles all had their keys inside. And deer are in the spotlight, or at least headlights, in Iowa. The state has already recorded the highest rate of vehicle-deer collisions for November. Joe Wilkinson with the Iowa DNR said there are three main reasons. It's the rutting season, the harvest is almost done, and the deer have lost a primary hiding spot in cornfields. And daylight hours are growing shorter, which means dawn and dusk, when deer are most active, closely coincide when the people are heading to and from work. The deer roadkill count in Iowa in 2010 was about 10,000. Wilkinson says nearly a fourth of the dead deer along rural highways and interstates were counted in November. The rest was counted over the other 11 months. Taking a look at world headlines this morning, just hours after stepping down from their positions, two Penn State officials will appear in court in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania today for allegedly lying to a grand jury investigating a child abuse case involving former defense coordinator Jerry Sandusky, athletic director Tim Curley, and Gary Schultz, who are the school's senior vice president for business and finance, are scheduled for arraignment. Census data say the gap in personal wealth between younger and older Americans is the widest one ever recorded. Figures show the median net worth of the typical household headed by someone 65 or older is more than $170,000. but for someone under 35, it's a little more than $3,600. News time is 8:11.
I'm so frustrated.
I have always had cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish Network. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions and just want to talk to a live person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish Network, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For a local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separate.
In the funeral announcements, Kenneth Beener Inken, age 79, of Atlantic, died last Tuesday. Services for Kenneth Inken will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Norma Helmrich, age 92, of Manchester, died Thursday. Funeral services for Norma Helmrich will be today at 11 o'clock at the Manchester United Methodist Church. The Bonencamp Murdoch Funeral Home in Manchester has the arrangements. 62-year-old Gail Shorty of Erling died Thursday in Erling. Massive Christian burial service for Gail Shorty will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Deloy Cannon, age 69, of Greenfield, died Friday at her daughter's home in Guthrie Center. A celebration of life services for Deloy Cannon will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Howard Albert Schneider, age 85, of Elkhorn, died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Howard Schneider will be Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 59-year-old Joyce Elaine Miller of Persia died Saturday. Services for Joyce Miller will be held this Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Thomas Schumacher, age 61, of Avoca, died Friday. A massive Christian burial service for Thomas Schumacher will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. And Al Wernemont, age 57, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospice Center. Services for Al Wernemont are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news this hour, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.